Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's time now for the Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined by People Before Profit TD for Dunleary, Richard Boyd Barrett, political correspondent with the Sunday Times, Claire Scott, Group Head of News at the Irish Independent, Kevin Doyle, and from our Athlone studio by Fianna Fáil TD for Galway East, and Minister of State at the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, Anne Rabbitt. And you're all welcome to the programme. Anne Rabbitt, I want to start with you. The Dáil, as we know, resumed this week. We were talking about that here on the programme. You and Fianna Fáil had your party thinking, and Micheál Martin was urging Fianna Fáil to focus on the remaining time in office rather than electioneering. But given the climate at the moment, that must be fairly near impossible, is it?
Not at all, Claire. Actually, what we're basically doing at the moment is continuing to deliver. And I suppose, really, when you use the word electioneering, what is the definition of electioneering? Is it where I am continuing to inform people about what we're doing within the department, what we're doing in relation to respite, and also just setting out our stall? Like, so to me, to be quite honest with you, where do you draw the line between electioneering and actually a government minister setting out their stall in relation to respite?
Yeah, I suppose I'm reminded of what Pat Leahy wrote in the Irish Times during the week, where he said, an unnamed TD said to him, you know, we just prefer to be out knocking on doors in the constituency, shoring up the votes, because that's really where everyone's focus is at the moment, isn't it?
Look, there's no doubt there is an election in the offing at some stage in the future. But at this moment in time, we've just returned to the Dáil. We have to focus on ensuring that the delivery happens. Like, we have a lot of policy going on. And yes, that's what my focus is at the moment. I can't speak for other political parties, but I certainly know within Fianna Fáil, it is about delivery.
OK, Richard Boyd Barrett, are people distracted with all this talk of an election?
Yeah, the amount of time, media time, politicians' time that's taken up with speculation about when the election is absolutely ridiculous. And it's drowning out, like, serious issues. So I think the government should just name the date, whatever the date is. I don't really care at this stage, but they should just stop torturing people, stop playing games, and tell us when the date is. And then we either get out and start campaigning, or we do the business. If it's going to be the spring, we get stuff done. Because, to be honest, what people are concerned about is the real stuff, is the housing, the health service, the cost of living, disability issues.
But people are distracted by this, you know, and it carries its own momentum then as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. But to be honest, it's very, very frustrating. I mean, I know we're going to discuss it later, but Anne and myself were in a debate where we had a private member's motion and we had families and parents and teachers in who are affected by disability and special needs. Mm-hmm. That's completely ignored. Completely ignored, because we're all speculating about elections.
No, sorry, Richard.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead,
Sorry,
Anne.
Richard, that is not true. It is not true to say disabilities is completely ignored. I have clearly just said there at the outset that it is all about delivery, and where some people might be calling it electioneering, I'm certainly not electioneering when I'm saying that we are investing 15 million into respite. That's not electioneering.
No, actually, I wasn't talking about you, Anne. I was talking about the media. I was talking about the media speculation drowning out serious discussions, whatever your views may be on this. And I think there's just too much speculation. And we should be either... That's why I think the government should name the date. Whatever the date, if it's November, name it now. If it's not November, if it's the spring, name it. And then stop torturing everybody so we can discuss the
real issues. And will you tell Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, but since Simon Harris is gift, I suppose, to stop torturing Richard Boyd Barrett?
Yeah, but can we also ask Richard, when we talk about Apple tax, is that electioneering? Is that electioneering every time he talks about Apple tax?
Well, listen, we have been highlighting the Apple tax scandal for a very, very long time, man. And we think it is absolutely disgraceful. The government put so much energy into protecting Apple from paying $13 billion in tax to the people of this country, instead of putting that energy into getting that money to solve the housing crisis, the crisis in health service, or the money you need in your department for disability.
You could also say it's electioneering. So where is the line between electioneering and setting out? Government have to set out their policy as to what they're working on.
All right. Well, listen, executive editor of the Irish Independent, Kevin Doyle, is sitting here listening to all of that. Are people tortured?
people are tortured. I don't know that people are tortured. I take Richard's point, but I'm actually fine with the speculation, because it's often what the media are talking about is a reflection of what real people are talking about, because they're the listeners, they're the readers. And real people are talking about the election, for better or worse. People are interested, but also Richard.
Well, Simon Harris says nobody's talking about it, but every time
he's lying.
Leave this studio, the first thing I get asked is, when is the election going to be? And I have no clue is the answer.
Yeah. And the truth is that the media are talking about it, I think people are talking about it, and Richard, the politicians are fueling it, because the politicians are obsessed with it. And that's not a bad thing. It's understandable, because not to put it on you, Claire, but maybe rather than focus it on Richard, but if you knew that at some point in the next 3 or 4 months, all your listeners were going to have a say in whether you got to keep that chair that you're sitting on there and decide the future of your job, you'd be thinking about it, and you would care about when it would be, and you'd like to know when that job review was coming up, and you'd like to start, you know, going around and meeting some of those people to tell them that everything's going to be OK. So it's natural. It's human nature that the politicians are obsessing. I think the reality is that they don't know Richard. I don't think they can tell you a date, because they haven't decided on a date, because they're hedging their bets a little bit on this. Mm-hmm. And I think there is probably a little bit of a division coming in, that I get a real sense that Simon Harris would be minded to go now sooner, as the tide is up, and Micheál Martin has no problem sitting back, because Micheál Martin is where he always is in the polls, and he plays the long game, so it might suit him to let Simon Harris's energy run down a little bit.
Yeah, Claire Scott, what do you say about that? Like, we have this Simon surge, the Harris hop, which seems to be continuing. So if you were him, looking at the numbers from the latest poll this week and all of the others in recent times, you'd be saying, well, sure, now is the time to do it.
It is the time to do it. And I mean, look, we're getting into the winter period now. And what happens in the winter period, typically, we're going to see a real focus on homelessness. Again, we're going to see people in trolleys, hospital overcrowding, emergency rooms overwhelmed. That is excellent fodder if you're in opposition. And it's also kind of showing that this government has done very little in terms of rectifying those issues that have been to the fore for years now. So you would be mindful, if you were Simon Harris, to avoid that and go now when people have a bit more money in their pocket once we get through this giveaway budget. It would make sense to go now. But there's talk about a February election now. That wasn't there a few weeks ago.
Do you agree with Kevin, though, that there might be a divide emerging now, that it would suit Micheál Martin better to wait until then? Simon Harris might want to go now.
Well, what's interesting is that there's just this infighting going on between the coalition parties, and more obvious than ever. Very much so. I feel Fianna Gael are getting a bit antsy over the fact that Fianna Fáil aren't budging on the VAT rate for hospitality. The Greens are getting annoyed with Fianna Gael for mooching in on childcare cost reductions, which they see as their thing. And Fianna Fáil are getting annoyed about the crime portfolio and how that's being handled by Fianna Gael. So that is being discussed. That is being more openly discussed than I've ever seen it before. The Cancorla has kind of made his point that, look, we shouldn't have this infighting going on. But I think the longer that this is dragged out, the more we see the cracks in the coalition, the more difficult it is for this government to stand on its own 2 feet.
Yeah, and it would make sense, going back to Richard's suggestion, there would be, you know, the distraction would be gone if we just had the date. Just name the date wherever it might be.
But I don't think so, Claire, because we need to focus on the budget. The budget is in 2 weeks' time. And that budget piece is exactly as myself and Richard would have championed last night in the Dáil, to ensure that we get our fair share for our various departments in relation to disability. So I don't want us to be focused on anything else other than the budget, to ensuring that I can deliver for people.
And would it suit Fianna Fáil to hang on until next year, as Kevin and Claire were saying, and suit Simon Harris better to go now?
Well, Claire, just listening to the female commentator there, she hasn't realised that we have added bed capacity into our hospitals. She hasn't taken on board that we have recruited staff into all of our hospitals across the country.
So the winter won't be as bad on the health front as people might
Minister
expect.
Donnelly has been driving down waiting lists for the last number of years, of which he gave an excellent presentation at our party thinking earlier on this week. So, like, a lot of investment has gone into various sectors of the economy, and most importantly, an awful lot of investment has gone into health.
OK, so that's another way of saying that you'd be happy to wait on until next year.
I have no comment.
Well, I mean, you can express an opinion. I'm sure Micheál Martin wouldn't mind if you had a preference.
I'm ready. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to see the budget done. I'd like to see the finance and social welfare bill done. But whenever the party leaders decide that the election is called, I'm ready for it.
The poster's ready.
Always.
That took a little while there, but we got it in the end. I want to move on. The government this week announced these plans to raise the amount that people can put into their private pensions from €2 million in total up to €2.8 million before they start paying a tax rate of 40%. So, Richard, this all was thrown into sharp relief when people were discussing the Gardaí, because there was no senior Garda who put themselves forward for the job of assistant commissioner because this pension problem existed. To many voters, it might be a small price to pay for a properly structured police force with the right people at the top. What do you say?
I just find it incredible. I mean, there's, I think only 20% of ordinary workers have any pension at all.
Never mind 2 million.
Never mind 2 million. And the vast, vast majority of people have miserable pensions and whatever they get, and they're struggling to manage it all in their latter years. And the idea that the one thing that Jack Chambers has firmly announced for the budget is extra tax relief for a few hundred very, very wealthy earners who can manage to put more than €2 million into a pension pot says it all about this government.
But if you have a problem to solve at the very top of the Gardaí and you can't get anyone to apply for these really important positions, you've got to fix that. Do you accept that at all?
No, I don't accept it at all. I mean, I'll tell you what I think, right? We have a huge problem with recruiting and retaining frontline workers in public services generally. Not just in the guards, in the hospitals, in the schools, in every single area of public service. And that's why our public services are creaking. Now, what is this government going to do to help them? We think they should get rid of the universal social charge on those workers, which was supposed to be an austerity tax. Because this is, by the way, this pension move for the people at the top is a reversal of a previous austerity measure. What about the austerity measures imposed on the vast majority of ordinary workers? Or what about increasing the pension entitlements of ordinary workers? Mm-hmm. That might entice a few people to work in our hospitals where we can't fill the posts, or get the special education teachers or the SNAs, or indeed, for that matter, the construction workers we need to build a social and affordable housing. What about them?
All right, well, listen, Clare Scott, to bring you in on this, because we have on the one hand this fairly significant boost for a swathe of people who are, you know, probably in a very comfortable position and have a very nice pension pot heading towards them. And then in the same week we heard that the auto enrolment scheme for every worker is likely to be delayed.
The big thing about this, and I think when we look towards this budget and the discussion that we've had about this budget so far, is that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have said that they want, you know, the amendments to the residential zoned land tax, they want inheritance tax amendments, and then they also want this change to pension. But all of these affect the very wealthy within society. And I think that is the big thing that they're going to have to kind of remedy if they want to bring in the majority of people and the majority of voters post this October budget, because that has been the main focus so far. Those have been the headline figures that we've seen. So it will be difficult for them to bring in just the low and middle income earners and get those votes, I think.
Yeah, and whatever is coming in the budget, and we know that there will be a welfare package and there will be energy subsidies because those things were confirmed during the week, this is probably not a good look for Fianna Fáil, is it?
Well, to be honest with you, Claire, I suppose government has to try and strike the balance, because we have been listening to An Gabhair Síochána, who have been telling us they haven't been able to attract into the senior positions that are required. And I'm listening to the commentary there, but at the same time, if you don't have the leadership in the senior positions, it is very hard to retain and motivate your staff on the front line. So you have to strike that balance. And I do accept, actually, it is for the higher earners. But at the same time, if we don't have the people in the positions that can make decisions, that can show leadership, we are then failing the entire organisation on it. And it's also important to say that it has been staggered. It is not all coming in at once. It has been staggered into effect from 2026. But government has that balance that it needs to strike, and it needs to actually to ensure that our public services are working and operating, and that the positions of authority are filled.
So the government, Kevin, are doing this, but they're holding their noses while they do it. Just that point that Anne makes about staggering it through, it might leave a problem, because Drew Harris is due to leave, isn't he, next year?
Yeah, he's indicated he won't seek an extension to his contract. So we'll be looking for a new Garda Commissioner shortly.
And this measure won't be in place?
It won't have reached. So we're going up to 2.8 million by 2029. So it's going up in over the next 3, 4, 5 years. It was 5 million once upon a time. Before it was cut back, which is it's crazy. Like, you can't imagine these figures when you're trying. It's actually funny.
Ordinary people are just scratching their heads going, what?
Well, I'll tell you, Richard, it's one of our reporters came into the newsroom the other day and said, oh, I've got a good story on the pensions in the budget. And I said, oh, great, that's good. It might be something for the front page of the paper that interests, you know, your average reader, because that's the kind of part of the season we're in terms of political stories. He's like, yeah, they're putting the 2 million threshold up. And I'm like, what? No, it's not a thing for real people, shall we say. They have the cover of the issue with the guards. There's no doubt about it, because the stories that we have seen over months in terms of those senior assistant commissioners in the guards and the lack of people applying for deputy commissioner, that gives them cover to do this, because the truth of it is, if you can't fill those big jobs, that is shocking. And that is undermining the Gardaí at a very, very serious time. You've talked about some things on the show today, Claire, in terms of the leadership we need in Garda Síochána. So I think in a different time, when there was perhaps less money in the country, people would be outraged, and Richard might have people out on the streets about this particular thing. But I think at this moment, where there's going to be at least 1.5 billion in a cost of living package and other things, there will be enough that this will slide through.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that, that the time is such that this is not going to cause a huge problem, Richard?
I think people will be furious if we don't see real assistance for ordinary workers. Because, I mean, to repeat, our big problem at the moment is getting people into the health service. We have massive understaffing in the health service. We have chronic labour and skills shortages in the area of construction. We have teachers that we can't recruit or can't retain. We've been discussing disability and special needs at the moment. Massive problem recruiting people, because the pay, the conditions are just desperate. And that's the issue we have to address if we're going to solve the problems that are facing ordinary people. So, it's hard to just understand how the government are so fixed on this as a priority when all these other things are remaining.
But I suppose, Claire's Richard, point, do we leave a vacancy? Do we run that risk then of not having those positions filled? Do we not listen to the people in those jobs that says they can't be filled because of this is an issue? Do we just not address the issue at all and ignore it?
I have to seriously wonder if we're recruiting the right calibre of people to these top jobs, if the main condition of them applying for these jobs is that they have to have absolutely astronomical salaries and pensions. I actually wonder, have they even the right motives for doing the job,
well,
to be honest with you?
Listen, it is a very significant tax bill. Like, it runs into hundreds of thousands for some people, and you could see how people would have a problem with that. Will we move on and talk about disabilities? Because you said we were going there, and we will, because yesterday in this studio we heard about the struggle of one family trying to get supports for their autistic daughter, Grace. And it was John Fogarty we had here with his really powerful contribution. John is a GAA correspondent with the Irish Examiner, but he was speaking to us in a personal capacity. And Anne Rabbitt, he acknowledged that he had reached out to you, but he felt frustrated that even your own office doesn't seem to be able to get answers from the HSE on their situation. And before we talk about it, we'll just take a listen to a little of what John told us yesterday.
We are realistic, Claire. We know what Grace is. We know, we are told so many times, expectations isn't the way to go with autistic children, which is understandable. It took me a while to get around for that. But when you're told by the system to manage your expectations, it's so cruel. It's brutal. Grace knows she knows the most important word in the dictionary in life is no herself, because she'll tell you if she doesn't like something. But she's got so many no's and so many no's through our letterbox and emails, countless, like emails that are effectively nuclear. You know what I mean? You know, they might be polite, and I completely acknowledge the bona fides of the minister for Minister Anne Rabbit. But at the same time, I would question, you know, just how much authority she has, because if at this stage she can't get an answer from the HSE, who can?
Yeah, and just in response to that, I mean, he is directly calling into question your authority over the HSE. According to him, the HSE on this matter seem to be avoiding accountability, both to his family, but also to your office.
Yes, Claire, and I have made numerous representations, as I would, and I'm not going to talk about the individual case, but I have absolutely, as I do for many cases, and I do struggle to get answers. It is very hard to drill down into getting individual answers for individual people. And that piece that John speaks about, that accountability piece, the transparency piece, to me is awful important. It is a critical part of how we can stand over and deliver our services. And on a regular basis, I do question the HSE on that.
Yeah, they gave us a statement on this today, saying again they don't comment on individual cases. They appreciate and acknowledge that this is very difficult for the family, and in particular for Grace, who's awaiting services. But they talk about the high level of staffing vacancies across all community services. So they give us one example where they've 17 of 33 posts vacant. We're working with the National Disability Workforce Lead to ensure timely filling of our vacant CDNT staff in this and other areas. Is that the big problem, Anne? Staffing?
It's hard to attract, Claire, absolutely. Like, we have over 600 vacancies, and we're carrying those vacancies not just in the last year or 2 years. We've been carrying vacancies for quite some time. I have done investment of over 60 million. Money isn't the question here. The money is there, but I can't get the people. And only this year, the Department of Further and Higher Education joined with us in ensuring that we can add more places onto the courses. But that takes a while for that to come through. We are trying to work with developing assistant therapist roles. We are throwing the kitchen sink at it, but we're also working at looking at attracting in from abroad. I'm working with the private sector in trying to drive down the longest waiters in waiting lists. But there's a whole combination of trying to work in this space, Claire, to attract more people into the sector.
Why don't they want to work in the sector? What's wrong?
There's a number of things. First and foremost, it's a difficult sector to be in. I suppose the rollout and the reform of PDS, and because there's so much vacancies on the teams, there's a huge risk with being working on the team, and it's easier work to be in primary care. So it isn't an attractive place at this moment in time because of the staff levels. There is such a variance of need of staff in some of our teams.
So, Richard, it's not a money issue. It's a staffing issue.
Well, we brought a motion into the Dáil yesterday, the first week back, People for Profit, on this issue. And of course, the government didn't oppose it, but we know they're not actually going to do much about it. And it's a flipping disaster, is what it is. I mean, we had parents, children, teachers in there absolutely at their wits' end, looking for school places, looking for assessments, looking for therapies. And the horror stories of people waiting years, literally years, for therapies. And then when they get therapies, it's not anywhere near adequate. And it is all to do with understaffing and the failure of the government to recruit people and retain them in CDNT teams, in CAMS teams and so on, and similarly in the schools. Pay and conditions are an issue, but it is a vicious circle. And the problem is, because places are understaffed, because it's so stressful, because of understaffing, then people leave. So you're in a vicious circle. And the other big contributor to this is the cost of accommodation and housing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my contribution yesterday, I was pointing out a number of schools in my area where teachers are leaving because they can't afford to live in the area, they can't afford to commute the long distances to work in these schools. This then has a knock-on effect on their ability to look after children with special needs.
So are you saying, with the minister on the line here and in the conversation you had in the Dáil, are you saying you understand there's no quick fix? Or is there something that Anne Rabbit can do?
No, well, you see,
There are things. I mean, for example, you have inequities in some CHOs, which are the administrative areas. There are inequities in terms of pay and conditions. So it's more attractive to work in some areas than others because you're a Section 39 worker as against being paid directly. That's one problem. There's problems in terms of the financial and other barriers for people to get qualified in the allied health professionals. I mean, I have been saying, I'd say for about 7 or 8 years, all fees should be dropped in those, as well as creating extra places. There are huge financial barriers to people getting qualified to the highest level in the allied health professions. Why are we making it difficult to get people qualified in these areas? Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Yeah, and right? What have you to say to that?
So, thank you, Claire, for letting me back in. So, we all acknowledge that there's no quick fix. So Richard is saying there that the Section 39s are struggling to recruit, and I acknowledge that. But where I have HSE providers, which if I use an example of Donegal at this moment, which is mainly HSE, I'm still struggling to recruit onto teams above in Donegal. But I am looking at the apprenticeship model. I am working on the Earn and Learn model. And only this year, earlier on in the last 6 months, myself and Patrick O'Donovan in Cork launched the social care piece where people can work on the job for 4 days a week and attend college on the fifth day. So they're bringing their lived experience, their earning and learning, and the fees are being provided through their sponsors, which is the HSE and TUSLA. And Donegal, again, as an example, we're putting on the sponsorship programs. We're doing absolutely everything we can. And that earn and learn is being explored at the moment to expand it across to OTs and physios. But the professions and the unions as well have a whole role to play on this as well, Claire.
All right,
and sometimes we don't talk about the elephant in the room.
All right. Well, listen, we do have to leave that there for now. We're out of time, but thank you all for being with us in the studio today.